Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeartRadio, and how the tech are ya? So, I mentioned last week that I planned to do an episode about logic gates, which lie at the heart of computer processing. So today we're going to do a quick overview of logic gates and what they do. And originally I was going to run reruns this week because I'm actually on vacation as you listen to this. But I had a little extra pizzazz in my step that I'll talk about in a second. But yeah, let's talk about logic gates and what they do. And first up, you should know that logic gates are based off of Boolean algebra. This branch of math was invented by the guy that it was named after. George Algebra. Just kidding, his name was George Boole. Boole was born in England in 1815, as so many were. He died 49 years later in Ireland, and I can understand why. I guess this is where I should mention I'm writing this episode while under the influence of Advil PM, because I grabbed the wrong tablets while trying to treat a headache. So that's going to be a factor for the rest of this episode, just letting you know. Anyway, George Boole helped establish symbolic logic, which, by the way, I loved that subject in college. It was a math course that I excelled at. In fact, I would only show up to class on Thursdays and Fridays. We met every day of the week, but there was no attendance policy. So Thursday, I would show up to find out which chapters that the professor had gone over. And then Friday, I would show up because there was a quiz for that week's lessons. And symbolic logic made so much sense to me that I could just show up on Thursday to see which chapters I needed to read, show up Friday and do the work, and I aced that class. Now, this is not to say that I'm a genius. I am not. Just for some reason or another, symbolic logic clicked with me in a way that a lot of subjects never did. Anyway, symbolic logic would become a fundamental foundation for digital circuits years later. My guess is he didn't know that was going to happen, because computers weren't a thing yet. So what had happened was Bull mostly learned mathematics all on his own. He received some tutoring from his father, who was a tradesman, and he did go to a couple of schools, but no like secondary formal education. Mainly he was self-taught, and he actually began teaching around various schools in his region when he was just 16 years old, not only because he was brilliant, but also because it was necessary. His father's business had slowed down and his family needed the income. So the gig economy has been around for a while, I guess, is what I'm saying. In the 1840s, Bull submitted papers to the Cambridge Mathematical Journal on subjects ranging from differential equations to calculus. You know, light reading. In 1847, he published a work titled The Mathematical Analysis of Logic, Being an Essay Toward a Calculus of Deductive Reasoning. This landed him a university teaching gig, even though he had never earned a college degree of his own. In 1845, he published a further treatment of his ideas titled An Investigation into the Laws of Thought on Which Are Founded the Mathematical Theories of Logic and Probabilities. Real page-turner. In 1846, he married Mary Everest, the daughter of Mount Everest. She was the daughter of George Everest. It's just that Mount Everest is named after George Everest. That's actually true. Got a little confused there. Sorry, I'm blaming the Advil PM at this point. Bull used mathematical symbols to represent logical arguments and showed that by encoding an argument as a series of equations, one could check to see if the argument was sound or not, if it were true or if it were false. So, for example, maybe you were saying something like, all cats are mammals. Old Greg is a cat. Therefore, old Greg is a mammal. Well, you could actually represent those statements as equations, and then you could solve to show that the conclusion is contained within the premises. So if the premises contain the conclusion and everything lines up, you would say it's logically sound. It is a true argument. However, if you said all cats are mammals, old Greg likes to sip Baileys out of a shoe, therefore old Greg is a mammal, well, that wouldn't fly because you haven't established that old Greg is a cat or any other kind of mammal for that matter. He's old Greg. So what does this have to do with computers? Well, old Greg will have nothing to do with computers, probably because he lives at the bottom of a lake and his computer would short circuit immediately. But Boolean logic would underpin the concept of logic gates, which in turn would allow a computer to process information in a meaningful way. And this brings us to the concept of actual logic gates. PCMag.com defines logic gates as, quote, a collection of transistors and resistors that implement Boolean logic operations in a digital circuit. Logic gates have one or two 0 or 1 inputs, but only one 0 or 1 output, as in the following examples, which they then list. To continue the quote, transistors make up gates, gates make up circuits, and circuits make up electronic systems, end quote. So, a typical logic gate usually accepts two inputs and produces a single output. And that output is based both upon the nature of the inputs and the nature of the gate itself. I say typically because, of course, there are exceptions, but for the purposes of simplicity, we're mainly focusing on the typical example of two inputs enter, one output leaves. So yeah, I am going Thunderdome with these rules. The output that a logic gate produces, like I said, depends both upon the value of the inputs and the type of logic gate that we're talking about. So you can think of logic gates being kind of like a physical gate that leads into, say, a courtyard. And this particular gate has a bouncer standing outside of it. The bouncer enforces the rules. So you come up to the gate, and if you meet certain criteria, the bouncer lets you through. And if you do not meet the criteria, the bouncer turns you away. This analogy isn't perfect because really the logic gates allow a value to pass through no matter what. It's just, what value is that going to be? Will it be a 0 or will it be a 1? So the bouncers and circuits are electronic components and the rules depend upon the type of gate. And we are talking physical structures here in a circuit. We are actually talking about transistors and resistors. So the way the gates work, is dependent upon voltage. So each input can have one of two values. Either 0 volts is applied to the input, which would then represent an input of 0, or 5 positive volts are inputted into that input, and then that represents a 1. The output produces a value of either 0 volts, so a 0 in logic, or 5 volts, again, meaning a 1 in logic. Now, if we're just talking 2 inputs, you can have 4 possible combinations, right? So each input can have 1 of 2 states, either a 0 or a 1. And if we start to group these 2 inputs together, that gives us 4 potential combos. You could have both input A and input B be 0. So that's 1 value. Or you could have both of them be 1. That's a 2nd value. Or you could have input A be 0, input B is 1. That's a 3rd value. Or you could have input A be 1 and input B is 0. That's your 4th value. So 4 possible combinations, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, or 1, 1. Now, those are the basics. When we come back, we're going to talk about the different kinds of logic gates, and we'll build from the most basic to the more complicated. But first, let's take this quick break to thank our sponsor. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
We're back. So now we're going to talk about logic gates. And the first one up is the AND logic gate. The AND logic gate will produce a 1 result as the output only if both inputs are also 1. So if input A is 1 and input B is 1, then the output is also 1. Any other combination, whether it's 00, 01, or 10, will have an output of 0. So an AND gate will produce a 1 if both inputs are also 1. Next up, we've got the OR gate. This one will produce a 0 output if both inputs are also 0. So any other combination will create a 1 output. It's kind of the opposite of the AND gate in many ways. Then we have the exclusive OR, which is agreed not to date other people. I'm sorry, that's the nighttime Advil talking. The exclusive OR, aka XOR, produces a 1 only if one input is a 1 and the other one is a 0. So if you have 10 or 01 as the inputs, that produces a 1 output. The 00 and 11 inputs would produce a 0 output. I know this starts getting confusing, but this is just for the purposes of explaining the different types of logic gates. Next up, we've got the logical inverter. So a logic inverter is someone who stands Mr. Spock on his head. No, it's a NOT gate. And this only has a single input. So it's one of those exceptions I was talking about a few moments ago. So an inverter does exactly what you would expect. It produces an output that's the opposite of the input. So if you have a 1 coming into a NOT gate, a 0 is coming out, or vice versa. Now we're going to get into a few gates that combine some of the more simple versions into something a little more sophisticated. So first up, we've got the NAND gate, the N-A-N-D gate. This behaves as if it is an AND gate immediately followed by a NOT gate. So the NAND gate will create a 0 output only if both inputs are 1. So 1-1 creates a 0 output. Any other combination would produce a 1 output. Then we have the NOR gate, which is an OR gate followed by an inverter. It will only produce a 1 if both inputs are 0. So 00 creates a 1 output. Every other combination creates a 0 output. Now let's go crazy Broadway style. We got the exclusive NOR or XNOR gate, which will produce an output of 1 if both inputs are the same. So a 00 input will create a 1 output, but then so will a 11 input. Now, a 10 or a 01 input, that would create a 0. So yes, I know that sounded like a lot of zeros and ones, but that's what we've got to work with. And these logic gates are what make up digital circuits. You can combine them in all sorts of different configurations, with the only real limit being that we are talking about physical structures producing these outputs, right? We are talking about actual transistors and resistors. So eventually you do start to run out of physical space. So they do take up space, very little space, because these are very, very, very tiny components, but they do take up space. You also run into issues like how much heat you're producing when you're providing power to the circuit. So that can also be a limiting factor. But otherwise, you can get into lots of complex orientations and configurations. Now, the cool thing about this is you could actually write out the string of logic gates that your circuits follow, though you would need an awful lot of paper to do anything like a modern circuit. You could do it, however. The point is that logic gates represent specific rules, and these rules determine the output produced based upon the input received. And that's the very basic foundation of digital computers, though obviously it gets a lot more complicated from there. But that's something I'll just have to tackle on a day when I'm not on Advil PM, which is not a sponsor, I should add. It's just the reason this episode turned out the way it did. So my apologies on that one. Anyway, that's the basics of logic gates. You can get a lot more detailed, as I said, and I know it gets really confusing hearing all those ones and zeros. I recommend looking up truth tables for different logic gates so that you can get a better understanding. It helps me, at least when I'm able to see visualizations of this in various charts, and that lets me get a better understanding of what output you're going to get based upon the input going in. But yeah, this is like the core foundation of processing. So you combine that with the element of binary information where your values can either be a 0 or 1, then you start grouping bits together to make more meaningful representations of info. Couple that with the process of logic gates, and you start to see how computers actually start physically handle this information in the form of voltages. It's really incredible. Like when you start to break it down, because we deal with such an abstraction of what computers are doing when we're running any program, right? We're just focusing on whatever the program does. We're not necessarily thinking what is going on at the circuit level to make this happen. Well, logic gates are really the basis for that. So I hope this was interesting. I'm sure it was at least cringeworthy and maybe entertaining as well due to my addled state thanks to the nighttime medication I accidentally took. And it's still doing a number on me, y'all. I've had 2 full cups of coffee to push through this. So blame my foolishness on grabbing the first headache medicine that I wasn't within reach for me to deal with my headache. That's the reason. All right. We've got a couple more new episodes this week before we get into rerun territory. I've got a new episode for tomorrow and for Wednesday. So hope you enjoy those. They will also be on the shorter side, which was necessary for me to be able to get everything done before I headed off on vacation. And I hope you are all well. I hope I'm well right now. I should be kind of leaning back in a hammock in the Blue Ridge Mountains somewhere, hopefully at this point, unless the weather's terrible, which it probably will be. And in that case, I'll just be inside watching the rain. Either way, sounds good to me. And I will talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.